guess I'll say it like this. It came to my attention. That's kind of how I heard it. It's kind of weird. I think it came. Today is Wednesday. So Monday, was it Monday? Tuesday. Monday, I wanted to go to the gym. Didn't make it to the gym. Made it to the gym on Tuesday. And either during the gym, during gym time. For those who are not getting to go to the gym, sorry. But a good gym time and a great sauna time with some guy that we just kind of talked about light and darkness during the sauna. We had a good audience of one there. I mean, it's me and him. There was a guy sitting in the corner sweating with us. It was getting a good, what's going on the planet? What did I title this? I don't have a title yet. Just go with it. Hey, Benson. He sent me a good little thing to chew on this week. It has come to my attention that some of you have believed a lie, or maybe stopped believing, or possibly ignorant this truth. It kind of blew up big time in the gym that there are people who actually don't realize how special they are, how important they are, and how valuable they are. And I was almost in, I think I was in disbelief, either because I was thinking of it from my perspective of how this could be true or not be true, or I'm not sure what the deal was, but it really, as I was writing down, this became the foundation, or I guess the start, or the catalyst of this message, that people who have a relationship with the living God do not realize how important they are. And I was kind of like, yeah, they do. And that's kind of how I was on Tuesday, all night Tuesday, all day Wednesday. People, that's not true. And I hope you guys aren't like I am. A revelation drops down at me. I wrestle with it. Now, it's good to wrestle. Hey, Ron. But sometimes I wrestle to the point where I can't believe that's true. And I was having a hard time believing this nugget, almost like I thought it was from the enemy. Because it was just kind of shocking that because it wasn't like this one or two people in the body of Christ thought they were not valuable. It was like a large percentage thought they weren't valuable. And I was like, that can't be. If you close the door, it will cool down more or faster. And it's because the door's open. But it's 94 outside. That's whole coldness.
And my house is a normal temperature.
And your house is a refrigerator. Anyway, welcome my live audience. I guess it was like I might not go so far as Revelation 4:1 that I heard a trumpet voice, but this truth rang out that that there's individuals, not individuals, like a large group of people that did not know, one, they were special. These were vital. I mean, up there, great. Critical. Critical to the kingdom. Critical to the plan of God. Essential. Some of you in North America heard the word essential a lot. And you need to know you're essential. And I was like, so when I was writing this down, I wrote down, you're uniquely special, uniquely qualified. And as I was writing that down, I'm learning to learn that, the King of Glory lives in you. So I'm getting better and better of learning to listen to that King James, that still, small, still voice. But I want the voice to be louder. But the voice inside of you, the King of Glory, is just like your conscience, is the King of Glory. And do that. Open the vent.
How am I going to reach it?
You go get a little stool. Miss, play with the thermostat. go get the stool in the back room and go do that, or use, because I'm not doing it. We're having a battle in the house. The same battle was happening in my mind. So the battle was, a truth came in, and I was battling with the truth. But then, as I was writing down the truth, open for revelation, and I was kind of like, surely it's not a, I was thinking of a small group in the body of Christ that were thinking of this deal. And what it was, it wasn't just, you know, believing a lie, a little group, and stop believing, a little group, or, you know, gone into tradition. It was like, I want to say, multitudes. And now it's a real deal, because the multitudes, this is my family. Yeah, this is y'all are my family, okay? And so I was writing down, and I was in my discipline. Then I heard these words, or I saw this vision, that I write down what I wrote down. I just saw in a vision that this truth, the truth of how special you are, the truth of your uniqueness, the truth of your value, was beaten out of you. And I was like, it was like, I've seen a lot of graphic, violent movies. And that was an image that came to mind, just like individuals of my family, individuals in the kingdom of God. They were systematically tortured. And then I even saw the tools. I saw the tools. The tools were, you know, they're just watching you do this, right? And that won't work. What is that for?
Did you just do it?
Yep. He's going to slide the thing. He just flip it.
You can after
you stand up 2 feet up. So in this mini vision, I saw that this truth that what you were born with, your birthright. Oh my gosh! You're gonna break the plastic. Just use your finger. Oh my god! Anyway. It's a battle for reality. That's always going on. Even when truth smacks you in the face, you still have to grab it to resist it. Hey, Colleen. So I was like, so are you serious that it wasn't just a matter of people have forgotten? No, Ron, I'm not helping her. She's qualified, she's equipped, and she's well able, and she did it. Okay.
Thank you, Ron.
And Jeanette, too. Anyway, y'all are...
It should be cool in here before it starts, right?
Well, people should tell me they're coming.
Someone was at the dentist having dental
work. I sent you a text asking if you need help.
I was having a root canal, sorry.
Well, you should have replied back, I'm coming. Okay, listen, same situation, y'all. So it's not a situation of people have forgotten their value or forgotten their purpose. It is a conspiracy. It's just like, what's my favorite conspiracy movie? What's the one with Mel Gibson in it? All right, who's got that name in the movie? Well, the scripture for that, not the movie, for the what's going on is the Bible says, "Do not be conformed." Okay, you thought that I saw the commercial for that. Do not be conformed to this world. And what I'm realizing, that word "conformed" isn't a nice word. That is a forceful word. Okay, when you come out of your mom's womb, there is a plan set against you to make you like the world, or under the pressure to be just as gravity keeps us on the planet. There's a force that's trying to keep you way under your God calling, way under your high calling, way under. You know, one of the things that you're under when you come out of the womb is you're under time, and you feel compressed by time, that you don't have enough time for stuff. You got to come out of that. You need to be over time and not under time. And there's a way to overcome, because to be the head and not the tail. And one of the things Jesus did was he came to give you life. Anyway, so I was really awakened to the fact that I guess me too, including this, we're not realizing how special we are. We're just not one of the people on the team. You're a key person in the team. You know, you're critical. You're vital. You're essential. We're not going to make it without you. Okay? And some of you don't believe that. I have a hard time believing that too. But what I heard was restoration, of restoring your right mind to your right place, to your right place of reality, to your right place of how special you are, to where you can look in the mirror and go, I am needed today. I am vital today. Someone needs me today. You may not see that someone today, but I tell you for a fact, what I heard was the Father hath, going to King James on you, the Father hath need of you. In the second, in the moment, in the hour. Okay? Restoration begins now. To now, you're going to arise in your place. And I heard, let the escalators of revelation and truth restore you to your dignity and enable you to live. Just not life that we've been educated to or the definition of life, but we're going to get a renewed mind on what is life, right? Life is based on God's definition, not your parents' definition, not the world's definition, not YouTube's definition, not Facebook's definition, not the definition that's been conformed or molded in your mind. We all need a new understanding of life. And the only person is your Father who loves you. In that environment of love, can you understand who you are and why you're here? And why you're needed here, what purpose is, right? I think in North American's education system or wherever you are, there's not a education system on the planet that can help you know you. Say it again. There's not an educational system. There's not a system on this planet that can help you know you. To take you from down and up. Even you guys that had a super foundation and super loving parents and stuff. The your self-worth and your value did not come through education. It came through an impartation through relationship. A loving relationship with your family, a loving relationship with your parents, a loving relationship with some authority figure. Now, if you didn't have a loving relationship with your father, a loving relationship with your mother, a loving relationship with some authority figure, there is one authority figure that has never failed you, never hurt you, and never was faithful to him. That's God. Because God is love. And he can't do anything other than that. Okay? And in that, in him being him, he, for God so loved the world, or for God so being God, or God being love, and love being God, he gave. So out of his character, he gives. And the problem we have is he's doing him. He's given everyone the ability to receive. But receiving is a choice. And some of us have given up that choice because it's been beaten out of us. We've chosen correctly, reached out, and our hand was smacked. We reached out, our hand was smacked. We've been told, you're not, you can't get that, it's not worth it, you're not worth it, it says not for you. Those are lies, and lies. Dare I say, damn lies, okay? I know, I've gone out there. I never cuss. This is big, you know. If I cuss, this is real. Does that mean that all the other times weren't real? This is like hit my heart, because I was just like, I was blindsided by this. I was blindsided by the revelation, because I was thinking like, well, you know, we're, you know, get on earth, I think we kind of lose some IQ points or something, and we kind of don't hold fast to confession, and we kind of forget, and life is tough, and we just kind of struggle. But you never, she's like, Janet typed out the D-A-M N-word. She's got, I know, it's catching. I didn't understand. I guess I knew we had an enemy, right? I guess in this season, I mean, this season, you know, whenever you listen to this tape, we're in the season where everyone who listens to this is aware that the whole planet, you know, there was a bomb called, you know, pestilence called COVID. It's affected everybody. It may not affect you in your body, but it's definitely affected in your mind. That fear came and slapped everybody. I'm so anti-fear. I thought I was invincible to the effects of the fear that was released there. And to my surprise and awe, I was smacked by that thing too. I had to get resurrected. I was smacked off my feet. Not physically, not emotionally, but kind of mentally. Yeah, the fear attached to that thing. I was smacked. And so anyway, so again, in that mini vision, when I was not really believing, when the Lord said to me, you know, when the Lord said, you need these revelations, there's not like a signature, God said, but this revelation came like light, that it has come to my attention. Some of you believed a lie, and I think I'm in that group too. But the fact that this truth that you're unique, this truth that you're special, this truth that you're valuable, this truth that you're essential, just wasn't something you forgot, something you lost along the way in the world of life is tough. I saw it was been beaten out of you. Then I saw, in the words, systematic torture. Oh my goodness, I mean, there's a plan in place. This wasn't an accident. Tortured, this truth's been beat out of you, right? Then I saw the tools of the torture. I saw the tools were diverse and perverse. There wasn't just one strategy to get you to believe that you're not valuable. There was like a whole row of tools. And I was like, what? Just the assignments against the people. These are the people of God. Every person who comes to the planet, the enemy wants to knock out their value. Yeah, everyone who comes to the planet has a purpose. Everyone who comes to the planet is special. Everyone who comes to the planet is there for a reason and is essential. Now you're going like, I know some people that are not essential. That's because you've let the enemy tweak you and the enemy has tweaked them. They're lined up to what that tool is twisted them to, what that perversion is twisted to. They've been conformed. Okay? And some of your thinking has been conformed. Let's forget about them. I'm talking about you. When you realize that you're special, when you realize that you're awesome, when you realize that you have a purpose, things are changing, right? And let me say this again. Let the escalators, you know what an escalator, we're going up. You know, on an escalator that's working, all you do is step on and hold off the ride. The escalator will take you from lower to bottom. You don't have to work, but you do have to step on. I can remember the first time I got on an escalator. It's kind of a, you know, the first time you're like going, that thing is moving. Hey, Dinah. That thing is going up. You see people getting on it and you wonder. I think people have done elevators before they've done escalators. But anyway, think back, or even what's even funnier or badder is when you see someone else try to step on there and they don't move their other foot to go with it, because it's some coordination required. Now, I'm not talking about the moms who try to put the stroller on the elevator. That's miraculous level work there. But just that kid who he steps out in faith, but he steps out with one foot. And his foot's moving up, and he doesn't know that he needs to move the second foot. And therefore, the splits are happening. And somehow, some of the quicker kids step real quick. Now they're going like, what is next? Where am I going? Even though they got a parent or an older child with them, they're wondering, because some of them can't, when you first get on an escalator, you don't look up, you're looking down because there's a miracle happening, there's a step forming. How does that work? Who created the elevator? How do you even conceive an elevator? How do you conceive moving steps that would take you higher? Escalator, thank you, thank you. Other E word. How do you conceive an escalator? Someone had a dream. You know, if you ever had the chance to see an escalator being worked on, it's kind of simple. But all of the real work is behind the scenes. Just like all that the Father has done for you to take you higher places. A lot of work, the power, the energy, the engine is behind the scenes. You can't see that. You're not fully aware of all the wonders, all the miracles, all the power the Father has exerted to take you from this place to a higher place. Back to the escalator. Let's go back in time. The first time, let's not say the first time. The first time is probably embarrassing. It's probably traumatic off that little trauma there. But when you master the escalator, when right hand goes on that black thingy, which is moving, it's a miracle. It's going the same pace as the escalator. It doesn't go faster, so you jerk your hand off there. Then you do the other one. Then you've got your upper body stable. Then you take I'm a right foot elevator escalator person. Some of you may be left footed. You don't know, go to Penny's or Sears and get on that escalator. Are you right-footed or are you left-footed? You'll know by which foot you put first. You put that on there, but you have to coordinate because your other foot has to go real quick. If you have done, and I've done it, I've left my foot behind. Not for long because your body is going upward. I think sometimes, and have you ever seen anyone back off an escalator when there's a crowd? I've seen that. I mean, I've done it too. What's even worse than that is getting your pants caught on the way. When you go up, your pants get caught, the thing goes in the other part. But anyway, back to this word that I got. Let the escalators of revelation and truth. Revelation and truth. Not opinion. Revelation. Revelation is revealed truth. Revealed by the Father. The Father who loves you. An environment of love from the one who loves you most. Revelation comes forth. Let the escalators of revelation and truth restore your dignity. Okay? And enable you. Enable means empower. Right? If you have any, when the word essential came out of my mouth and into your ear, some of it bounced off. You're like, no, I'm not essential. I may be needed, but essential. And we think this. I even thought this, Jim, that essential means cannot finish without, right? Dare I say that you're like, well, no, God doesn't. I mean, God's got Wally and Jeanette and Diana and Johnny. That's all he really needs. I'm just along for the ride. That little bit of understanding or lack of belief allows the enemy to continue the torture. Oh my goodness, I just saw that many of us are not tied down in that torture chair. We're sitting there because of our unbelief. If you believe you're essential, you're enabled to stand up, turn to your torturer and say, I'm out of here. Because a torturer is tied to the chair and to the tools. The torturer needs you to sit down there and let yourself be victimized. But all those who were let revelation and truth restore your dignity, restore your identity, restore your destiny, restore the truth that you're special, unique, and you're needed, that enables you to get out of that chair of torture and to walk in the light, to come out of darkness and walk in the truth, to come out of darkness. See, by yourself, you cannot reason with the world. The world will say, you're a woman and you were born here at the wrong time. And it will talk you into that. And if anything bad happened to you, it will see that happened to you. Therefore, you're a victim. You're a victim forever. And the world will talk you into that. If you let those things settle on you, then the torturer can start. Yeah. Especially if you give in to unforgiveness. Full rein, going for it, cutting you up, you know. Then one of the worst torture scenes I'm thinking of is Braveheart. When they lay out those tools, and I'm glad they don't show you what they're doing, but you feel it, right? And not that you need to have a good picture of torture, because we've all been tortured, right? We've all done this. Yeah, we're all needed. Everyone on the field. You're all on the first team. But you have to get off of your butt and step into the game. And you won't do that unless you believe that you're needed, that you're special, that you're essential, that you have something to bring to the table. I would dare say some of you have never even heard that from even a recording, that you're special. You're special. You're special. I get a thumb up going here. But the real deal is like, yes, I am. Yeah, say it out loud. Yes, I am. And then two taps.
Yes, I am.
Okay. One day, we're all going to believe that. You know, I used to do that tappy thingy. And I've done this tap thing all my life. And then one day, the Lord goes, you know why you do that? I go, probably because I saw it in a movie. He says, no. Actually, there is a gland behind you, behind this bone right here, that every time you tap that, the gland behind here, at some point, it strengthens your immune system, but at some point, it stops clicking for you. It just turns off at a certain age. And the Lord goes, if you keep tapping that, it will stay on, and it will keep your immune system strong, and it will keep you young. I was like, this does that? Come on, that's too practical. Right, God's awesome God. Okay, let me hit this truth. If you want to memorize a scripture to keep you in this game, write this down, 1 Peter 2:9. Now, you've heard this. All those who are listening and you don't go to church, never gone to church, didn't raise in church, you even know the scripture. I mean, I've heard it in secular movies. I'm going to read it in three different translations because we can't get this thing down. We got to get this down. But you are a chosen generation. Come on. Who's been on that playground at the third grade and they picked you on the team? You on my team. God picked you. Now, some of you pride people, hopefully you're not in the pride camp that I came out of. I told God one time, God, good thing you picked me. You did good. That's pride and arrogance. But in humility, when you realize God could have picked anyone he wanted to, but he chose you. He chose you. You need to relax. He chose me to be on his team. He wants me. You're wanted. You're accepted. You're beloved. He set his love on you. He didn't have to do that. This is pride thing. I mean, if you believe you're not loved, that's pride. You're going like, that's not pride. Yeah, you're believing a lie over his truth. If you believe something that's not what God says, that's pride and arrogance. In your pride and arrogance, you're staying like you're acting like you're not loved, you're not accepted, you're not wanted. You are wanted. It says here, you are a chosen generation. That's in the King James. Come on. A royal priesthood. More good words. And holy, what does it say? And it's a holy nation. A peculiar people. Oh yeah, I'm peculiar. No. We're going to get into this. This word dropped in me, peculiar. Usually you think of peculiar, you think of odd and bad. Yeah, you're odd and bad if you got that twisted mindset. peculiar. It means you stand out. Why do you stand out? Because God chose you. And some of you are not. I've had the benefit of being upon some sports teams that we were really good. And when you're really good, when you're set apart, when you're playing at that level, people talk about you. They can't beat you, they talk about you. That's what the enemy does. They can't beat the people of God, but they can talk about them. And maybe they can talk them into thinking like they're thinking. That's biblical. What the guys say, we see ourselves as grasshoppers in the giant's eyes. The enemy got to their head. They got their own head. Some of y'all are seeing yourselves as, well, everyone else is chosen. Everyone else is royal. Everyone else is special, but not me. Liar, liar, pants on fire, right? You and your stupidity and arrogance and ignorance and pride are believing a lie. But he said, see, that was Wally not being a passion, I mean, not passionate there, not being, what's the word, empathy. Learning this a little bit. A little bit by little bit. And when I started this message out prior to when I started, I didn't have empathy. I was thinking like, why are those people, who's my body of Christ family, why are they not thinking right? And I was blaming you for not thinking right. And I guess I'm starting to get state. You know, this is, if you have a hard heart, the Lord has to heal your heart. Then you have to open your heart to let the Father really talk to you, right? And really share with you. So I guess I'm getting a little, I'm getting more healed. And I'm starting to open up. And I guess today I was open enough to hear that it's not your fault. I was blaming you. I'm really good at judging. I thought it was your fault that you stopped dreaming, that you stopped living, that you made a conscious decision. And just as I was going down that wrong path of judging you people, and I'm sorry, you people, of making wrong decisions, clear as bell, the truth has been beat out of them. And I was shocked. I didn't realize the battle is that intense. I thought, like some of us, no, the battle's only big when you start. The battle started when you came out of the womb. Okay. And some of you were seemingly felt defenseless. And you were just beat into submission. But this is a new day. Because the revelation, escalators of revelation and truth are going to take you out of that hole and bring you back up. Okay? We're going to start believing the truth. 1 Peter 2:9. You're a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay, King James-y words. Let's go amplify. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race. Chosen! Two times now. Chosen, 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 chosen. Everyone knows it's good to be chosen. Okay? That's everyone who went to school in America, who grew up on a playground. Well, I guess you're my age. When you got picked and you weren't the last pick, you felt so good. I mean, like, I'm not the last pick. Of course, now.
You are the last pick. As I was always.
See, here's the voice of one of the tools. Okay, you thought I was joking about. I saw the tools laid out, diverse. So one of those tools was, yeah, if you're one of those last kids picked, that was a tool of the enemy used to make you think you weren't special. Okay. And I felt that tool. There was a few times I wasn't picked first, I was picked last. Was because I was black? Was because I was a new kid in town? Whatever, I was picked last. And the voice in your head says, since you're last, you're not special. Now, no one says it that loud. Where does that voice come from? And why is that voice so articulate all the ages of your life? Because it's been practicing for thousands and thousands of years. But even that voice is a lie. You're going, no, it's true. I was last picked. Does not matter. You are first picked by God. A little voice doesn't tell you that. This is why you have to believe revelation and truth, not facts, not experiences. That's the conforming the world. The world, the enemy, the system uses things you see, like being picked last. Being picked last does not mean you're not special. It may mean in that situation, for some reason, it's dodgeball, and they saw you play last week, and you were running from the balls and screaming. I wouldn't pick you either. But that does not mean you have no value and worth. Do not translate that into your whole life. There are many people who have done that. The second grade set them on a path of going down because they weren't picked for dodgeball. And they skipped gym class and hung out in the nurse's station and just skipped PE altogether and never got physical because they believed the lie that they're not valuable at all. Not true. Back to 1 Peter 2:9. Chosen race, royal priesthood, a dedicated nation. Dedicated to what? God's people. God's own purchase. Well, God's got involved in here. Come on. You're a special people. If you don't like the word peculiar, peculiar here is special. That you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness. What this is talking about, you uniquely, yeah, you, only you can display an aspect of the Father that no one else can display. I don't understand that. How can you be that uniquely designed that you, and only picture my mind is like a diamond, the different facets and the light going through there and it goes, bing, you know. That's what's going on here. The way only you can show off God to everyone that's in your sphere of influence. I don't have a church. I'm not talking about your church. I'm talking about if you were on an island by yourself, you'd be displaying the manifest, many facets of God through you. What if I was on an island? Yeah, because you're on the island. You've got sand and sand crabs and trees and plants. You have all of creation who's looking at you, and they're looking through you to see the one who's inhabiting in you, and then the God in you who's a light is shining through you because you're a conduit, and you're going, I'm showing God. You're radiating Christ in you. The hope of glory, as in everyone outside of you should be seeing God in you. What? Everyone outside of you can see God in you if you learn to let your light, which is Him, shine. That's kind of an art. If you're busy dealing with second grade not being picked, you're not learning to know Him who lives in you. That's how the enemy gets us. Gets us all into... Is that a question?
I have something to share about that.
Okay. Beep. Live audience, microphone moving towards.
So, with the mask situation, I'm used to talking to people in the stores. People don't really... Because now, all the stores, you have to have a mask.
I think so.
Pretty much. I mean, I haven't been into one recently that you haven't.
And I had to go Best Buy and wear a mask.
Smile.
Just speak louder so they can hear.
You can't smile. So you can't, like, typically I'll smile and that lets my light shine. So what I've been having to do because I'm behind a mask and people can't see my smile is it's actually forcing me to, I don't know how to explain it, but push my spirit out
okay.
So that I can affect the people that I'm around and push my light out because they can't see my smile. So I still feel like when I'm in public, I need to make a difference.
Yeah.
And so it's actually forcing me to do that. And I don't know what it's doing, but the enemy wants it to separate even more. Like social
right.
networking was for distancing, and then the online shopping, more distancing, and then stay at home, and now the masks. And so it's, I think it's going to make, I hope it's going to have the opposite effect, that we'll then be releasing our light even more.
That's a good word.
And releasing our spirit.
That's really good. So instead of using that as a to stop you, overcome and cause something greater.
It's forced me to.
Yeah. And so that's good. So many people are like taking the mask and believing they've been shut down. And so some of you have the mask that a friend of mine made, and like today I was wearing my I've got a mask, so I was going to Best Buy today to buy a printer, and I was online it didn't say you needed a mask, but I got their mask, and so a friend of mine made me a mask that says
exact change, no more change.
Oh, that's in some places. Made a mask that says, I got a mask on. That's everywhere. It's not everywhere.
Federal Reserve has said they are low on coins, and now you have to have exact change. Pretty soon it's going to switch to no cash at all.
Yeah, that's a lie. No, it's a lie of the enemy cash thing.
Federal Reserve said it, yeah.
Well, the Federal Reserve is a liar.
I agree.
Yeah. So my mask says Son of God on it, and I'm liking it. When I had to fly to Virginia, thanks, Ron. When I had to fly to Virginia, you have to on the airplane you have to wear. So I was wearing, and my friend, I bought so many masks. She made me a shirt that matches my mask. It's got the Superman symbol, Son of God, my mask, the Son of God. And my airline stewardess, not my personal one, but she did, who greeted me on the plane, was like, that's right. I was like, yeah, thank you. And only got a guy, I got off the plane, he liked the shirt too. But the point is, nothing can stop Christ in you. Nothing can stop love. And like she said, it forced her to go, if I can't smile at the light out, I'm going to release my spirit.
And smile with your eyes.
And smile with your eyes. Because, you know, nothing's going to stop you. Don't let anything stop you. Yeah. Well, write me and I'll send you my friend's website. And I first saw the mask when went to a party and her mom was wearing it, and she had a black mask, gold on it, and had the Wonder Woman symbol, and beneath it had Woman of God. And I thought, well, if you got to wear something, that's something a woman can wear. All right, 1 Peter out of the Passion Translator, 1 Peter 2:9. But you're God's chosen treasure, okay? Chosen in all three translations. Listen, God's chosen treasure, value and worth. There's so many things out there that take away our value, take away our worth, right? I mean, so many people related to the man that was, you know, caught on video being crushed, his throat being crushed by the police officer. And people, instead of just fighting for justice and righteousness, or even those that were standing around watching, people went towards a victim mentality. They said, okay, that's the way all white people treat all black people. Now, again, in the use that imagery, use those facts, many black people decided to relate to the fact that they're under the oppressor, okay? That there's no option, that they got to do something about it. And they've taken to the streets and burned stuff, even around my neighborhood. But see, that's a choice. No one makes you the tail. No one makes you oppressed. And you need to see your value. You need to realize you're a chosen people. You're a treasure. You're valuable. And if you walk around with the attitude and the knowledge, the truth, that revelation, you come up. Okay? Yeah, it was a plan. Again, another one of those tools of the enemy that's diverse, and perverse, and has caused many people to go the wrong way. Okay, because they're not riding and living under revelation. They're watching facts, and facts can be manipulated. Okay, revelation from the Father is light that exposes darkness and exposes who you really are. Okay, we got to choose revelation, and not what we think we see, but what He shows us. Big difference. Big difference. And you go on here in the Passion Translation. You're God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings. I'm liking that. A spiritual nation. Okay. Just not a, you're dedicated, you're a spiritual nation, which means you need, as a spirit being, this gathering is called Gathering of Spirits. You need to realize who you are and how you live in this world as a spiritual being, just not material, right? If you think your life can be taken out by someone putting force against your neck, that you're only this and you only have X years to play around and you can be accidentally shot or da 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 da, or if you're a woman walked around the dark and raped, you walk around in fear, then you don't know who you are. And you need to spend more time with your Father so He can educate you to remove lies, to establish revelation and truth, so you can walk properly and be, enjoy life. It's hard to enjoy life if you're in fear. I think it's impossible to enjoy life if you're in fear. Because you're always, you're not living. You're striving, trying to survive, and you're not, there's no joy. There's no joy in fear. I'm going to finish this here. A spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. Wow. He can set us apart, but your choice to be devoted, right? And sometimes the devotion part, I was devoted out of fear. I thought He'd smack me or something bad would happen if I didn't go along with His plan, right? If I wasn't doing the rules. So I was dedicated or devoted out of a fear motivation. That's not dedicated. That's your slave, right? And if you get a slave mentality, thinking God's a master and He's ruling by force, and you respond to Him that way, then you won't walk in the light. You won't walk in love. You're walking in fear, and fear paralyzes, and fear doesn't allow you to enjoy. And so then you're just going through the motions, and then you're just waiting for something bad to happen. Therefore, you're waiting for it to happen. You're expecting it to happen. And it does happen because expectation is kind of like faith. You start drawing things towards expectation. And then you write a book that says that God's unhelpful and God's unfaithful. And you write a book from victim mentality, and that book spreads, and then lots of people believe in a lie because of your documentation of real things that happened, but not things that you could not overcome as you started walking in the light. And you started to realize who you were and who you are and who you can be. And it's a step-by-step process. Some of you, some of me, we've believed facts for so long. We don't know what's real, right? We don't know right from wrong. We don't know who we are. Some of us have let rules or religion or some group define or frame our world. And that works for a while until you've got big things happening. When the Bible says God's going to shake everything, He's doing that because He wants you to have a firm foundation. He knows, He wants you to know, the only thing that's solid is His revelation. Not His scriptures, because scriptures are just words that you hear through your ears. Revelation are words that you hear in your heart that are eternal, non-temporal, because things are just temporal. Things you can see and things you can hear, they change. And some of you are going like, God promised me peace. Okay, you read a scripture that said peace. And then when you go through a troubled time, you think, oh, God's lied, I'm not feeling peaceful. Because you're not taking the full counsel, which is revelation. You gotta go, Father, it seems to me this is bad. This thing called COVID, thing called wearing a mask, thing called da-da-da-da-da, bad. And from your own eyes and from your interpretation, it is bad. But what does your Father who loves you want to say to you in this situation? And are you opening up your heart to hear His truth? Or are you keeping your heart closed because you've been listening to other things which are not revelation? And you've got, you get your, not your taste buds, but if you cultivate your ear to newspapers and news media and social media and da-da-da, all those medias, not that that's wrong per se, it just doesn't help you cultivate your ear to hear from the Father in heaven who loves you and knows all truth. And He can discern, He can see through everything that's going on out there. Yeah, and He's the only one that's faithful and true. I wish there were people that were 100% reliable. There's just not. I'm not saying be untrusting. I'm saying be trust the one who'll tell you, put your faith there, 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 not there. And if you did put it there and it flips over or it's not, it doesn't work out, you're not put all your eggs in the wrong basket. You keep your eggs in the God's basket. Okay. Anyway, so three scripture. Well, one scripture, one translation. I want to read. This is my Bible. I want to read, and you can read with me. I want to read. Come on, Bible. How many Bibles do you have in your living room? How's our time? Kind of hour into. As I was again preparing this, I was thinking about people. Well, I was thinking about us and me and y'all, and this guy was kind of sort of floating into my head. This guy being Moses, and I'm thinking, you know, we're all living well. There's always decisions, you know, that we can, you know, see a situation. And I'm learning more and more and more and more and more and more that God has an opinion on everything. And He'll share that with you if you really, 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 really want to hear it. If you say you want to hear it, but you really don't, He knows if you really want to know. So He don't play that. Anyway, so I'd recommend reading Exodus chapter 3. It's only 22 verses. And this is just a guy. And I guess if, for you women, if you wanted to find a woman, then I guess you could read Esther. I don't know what chapter it is, but read her book and buy her a deal. But I was led to Moses and his visitation. And as I was reading, I read it the chapter through just twice in two different translations. You can go on your computer if you don't have a Bible. I was reading it out of Bible Gateway. And Bible Gateway gives you, my goodness, a dozen, maybe two dozen different translations. But when you read something over and over and over again, then you're getting your mind lined up to the way the author of that book wants you to understand that perspective. Now, when referring to the Bible, the author of that book is the Holy Spirit, used dozens and dozens and dozens, 60 plus different people over hundreds of years to put together the Old Testament, the New Testament. That's just a miracle in itself. But to get past a person's opinion and to get into what the Holy Spirit is trying to convey, and that's the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit wants to convey, you read it over and over and over and over again. First two or three times should kind of stay kind of natural. Probably 7 or 10 times, depending upon your upbringing, you get into where your brain says, okay, you may not know God as Father, but you'll turn your brain. It's not that stupid. Your brain will go, okay, I've been processing this for a while. After 10, maybe 12 times, I've been processing about, is there any insight? This is when your brain gets a little humble and asks for help. Now, you can get ahead of that on, you know, as you go to read it the first time through. Father, you know more than I do. Please reveal. Some of you kind of mouth that a little bit or kind of head banging, or some of you are better on that. But again, into the 10th, 12th time reading this through, you'll get some insights. And one time will be good, but I'm telling you, 12 times, awesome. 225 times, new person. Well, let's dive in here. We're not reading 225 times. That's your homework, okay? But if you really want to, we're living in a time of a lot is going on. And we can get, man, confused in the day. I got an email today that I'm living right now in the state of Oklahoma. That's in America. And our governor tested positive to COVID-19. His family did not. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You know, I don't know him personally, but I'm thinking, leaders need to be taking better care of themselves. Of course, I'm thinking he's probably following fear-based strategies, and fear takes your immune system lower, just makes you susceptible to anything. So, dude, don't do that. You should ask me what to do. I'm at the gym last night. You gotta, you know, you don't have to wear a mask. They want you to. 6 feet distancing. You're in a gym. 6 feet distancing. And we're not wiping down anything. And I'm like, if you go there thinking all these things can get you, you're like believing that, and your belief is expecting that negative thing to happen. So you're setting yourself up a little bit. So if you're going to go someplace, don't be believing what those people are saying. You better get a strategy from God. So let's read again in Exodus 3 and see what a man, Moses, who's not walking in his destiny, okay, he's not walking in his calling, and let's find out what happens, because this is what I believe is going to happen to you today. As you listen to this, and maybe you'll catch this on the first time through in Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Not very spiritual job, but a job. The priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, or Sinai, the mountain of God. You know, one of these days, I'm going to do a tour. I'm going to take a tour, and we're going to Sinai, because I've gone up Sinai. And my tour group will do like I did, and we're going to stay the night on top of Mount Sinai. It's not
a memory foam bed?
No memory foam beds. You're going to do it like I did it. Had a very thin, I haven't matched it all. But here's the fun part. Once you get on top of Mount Sinai, you will pass out. Not pass out of fear, but it's not an angle like that. It's a good slopey thingy. I race these brownies, you know. So in America, you have brownies, then Girl Scouts, then that's it. Anyway, little organization. Yeah, well, they were racing me. They were French brownies, and they, if they beat you, you're American. And I beat them anyway. So I stayed the night. They went back down, but on the way up to Mount Sinai, I guess this is a Catholic monk, because monks are Catholic, or that order. Hey, okay, fine. I'll have mattresses on top. They'll be your motivation. Mattresses, memory foam mattress, will be on top of the mountain.
With the toilet.
Ooh.
With a toilet.
Ooh, you better get your faith ready for that one. With a toilet. I can believe for the mattresses. I have faith for mattresses. Porta potty. That's angelic level there. So start praying now. Okay. So there's a little vibration I got going on over here. That's pretty cool. Remember, let's see the vibration. And toilet paper. Toilet paper, easy. Yiddish amazing. Because see, a lot of y'all are going to go because we're going to stop at St. Catherine's, which is this giant, what is it? It's a, St. Catherine's is a
Catholic.
It's a, is that a church? What is it? Well, I guess it was a church. The St. Catherine's is the bottom of the Mount Sinai. Everyone religious, wherever anything God happened, someone tries to put a monument or a church there. St. Catherine's is church. I don't think anyone goes there. You go in there first, you see all these skeletons and bones. I don't know what's up with death in Catholicism, but anyway, I'm going to go there. On my tour, there'll be a remnant of my tour group that I'm going to take down to mounts to the Sinai Desert. It's down there. It's like you have to leave Israel to get into the desert before you go to Egypt. My tour will be unlike any other tour. We'll be, I think we're going to do the whole thing. We're going to start in Israel and go down through the Sinai and end Egypt. Because Jesus lived in Egypt. Y'all don't know that. There's some cool stuff going on in Egypt. Talking about some believers. Yeah, it's a monastery. Don't go there. I'm going to show you, but... Okay, caused me to speak in tongues about St. Catherine's Monastery there. Well, when you get there, you're all going to be cussing too. You're going to be cussing those death spirits all over the place. Anyway, yeah, it'd be an interesting tour. I don't know who's going to sign up for the... Go to Mount Sinai, because you could... Anyway, so when I went up there, I'm on the top of Mount Sinai. It's not that big a deal. So I'm up there, and... I was sleeping on an edge. It was a full moon. And I was concerned I may fall off the edge or roll in the middle of the night. So as I laid there on my non-mattress, on my little thingy in the middle of the heat desert thingy, I put these rocks around me. So in case I started to roll, I would at least hit the rock and wake up. Why I didn't die? Because someone loves me. Here we are. I mean, yeah. Well, I probably won't share that part on the going to the tour. But those who do go, I'll get memory foam mattresses up there before we get there. Help you go the distance. And again, it's not a hard walk out there. If a little brownie girl, age 6, could do it, y'all could do it. But it's... Anyway. Why are we... Because Moses was there. And you want me... There's some stuff going on there. No, I don't think anyone on the planet does a tour to Mount Sinai. That might be my cook phrase. We will... It's tough to get... Is it tough to get... I don't know. Anyway, let's ponder on that at some point. Anyway, verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and yet was not consumed. When I read this scripture, the Lord said, if the people, and that's us, if we would look in our environment for things which are burning, i.e., COVID burning, riots burning, bad things happening. If we look beyond the natural, we'd see what God is doing. Let's sit there. There's a lot of stuff to look out there because TV's going boom, boom. You got X Lives Matter. You guys, I was on a work call today. Companies are bowing down. You know, this is politically incorrect. I heard today the company I work for is giving place for... They've got guidance on how you can riot. I'm sorry, not riot. Peacefully protest. Where you should do it, how to do it, how to use your time off to do it. And I'm like... And they weren't joking. This is legit. And I was like, so the world system is saying, like, people are going to die. Help them die. People are going to hurt you. Help them hurt you. They have a right to be angry. Well, you have a right to be angry, but you don't have the right to manifest any way you want to. But companies and people, There was, I heard on the radio, I'm bunny trail there, but what I did hear from Revelation, if you look through their circumstances, through, I mean, right now, the guy, Johnny, what's the guy's name that died? George. Anyway, the place, the site that he was, I guess, suffocated with the knee thing or the forced throat thing. That very site, several dozen, and I don't have the numbers here, George Floyd, thank you, that where he died, there have been lots of people, so we can count this up, people baptized there in Minneapolis. Worship is going on there. And that which is meant for evil has sparked a movement. So the media wanted to make the place of victimized. And the people have said, like, okay, you know, something bad happened here. But let's look beyond that and see God. And people have gotten saved, have come back into a living relationship with the living Christ. And you can look on even the YouTube, you know, and find out what God is doing despite the anger, despite the hate, despite the wrong. We're trumping the wrong with good. Okay. We're not staying under, we're going over. And there's great things happening on the very spot that that injustice occurred. Okay. So again, the word, if you can look past the fire, past their circumstances, and see God. This is what Moses did here. And verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this sight. Why the bush is not burned. I'm going to turn my eyes to Minneapolis and see why they're not rioting there anymore, but they're worshiping there. I'm going to turn my eyes and see what, which was a wrong thing, and look beyond that and see what is God doing in the earth. If you will turn aside to see God, you will see God. Whatever you seek, you will find. If you stop at injustice, you'll just find injustice. You'll find reasons for black people to hate white people, white people to hate black people, and yada, yada, yada. You'll find that. But if you look beyond that to see your God who loves you, you'll see your value, your worth. So what that demonstration was of someone was lesser value. And many people took that as, I'm lesser value. But that's a lie. You're of great value. You're essential. Look beyond that wrong into the rightness of God. Okay? And receive revelation from your Father. Turn aside beyond the circumstance, beyond the opinions, beyond the politics, beyond COVID, beyond the mask, beyond the 6 feet, beyond your favorite restaurant not having your table anymore, beyond, 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 and see God, and things will change. Okay? And that's what happened here. He's minding his own business. Something happens. You're minding your own business. COVID hits. You're minding your own business. Stock market. You're minding. But look past that. Don't ignore it. I'm not saying walk around like nothing bad's happening. No, 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 no. I used to do that. I would ignore facts. And that's called denial. I'm not saying deny anything. I'm saying see it and look through it. Don't get stuck at the wrong thing. Press through and go, God, what are you doing? What are you doing there? What are you doing here? Some people, that injustice started breaking their hard heart. Some people went, oh my gosh, there is injustice in the world. And some people have been shocked into action. Some have been shocked into fear. Some have been shocked into wrong actions. But the people of God are going to look past that, through that, into the heart of the Father. They're going to look beyond color and into the fire. Because there's fires out there, and God's an all-consuming fire. If you look through the natural fire, you'll see the real fire, and you'll burn with passion for the living God. Verse 4, and when the, here's the part, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, The Lord's always looking at you and saying, what choices are you making? Do you want me? The Father's all in. He gave Jesus. He gives you breath every day. Every single breath you got isn't from you. He's going, and he's turning, he's looking to see if you're going to turn to side and say, hey, thank you for that breath today. Thank you for life today. Thank you. Here's my grateful heart. Who is turning aside to seek the Father? Who's doing it? If you draw near to God, he draws near to you. So Moses turns, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. When are you going to turn aside to see? God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses went, what? Here I am. That's when life changes. When you look beyond the circumstances, look beyond your situations, look beyond natural and peer into spiritual, life's game on. And God said, do not come near, but put your shoes off your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy ground. Strategy number one. See, you can't live this life on your own. You can't live this life based on what you see. You don't see it all. I don't see it all. We need someone who can see it all to tell us how to live. Strategy one, take your shoes off. Number two, also he said, I am the God of your fathers. Identity. You're special. You're not on this on your own. He's giving Moses identity. When God, when you start talking to God, start engaging in relationship, he's going to let you know who you are, whose you are, your lineage, your value, your dignity, your lineage into your priesthood, your kinglyship, your sonship, and it's going to tell you where you're going. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses went like, whoa, hit his face. What? It says here he was afraid to look at God. He was afraid. The first time truth smacks you, some of you probably shut off when I said you were essential. I said essential probably a good half dozen times. Some of you should replay this and see how many times I said essential. Some of you shut down on the word special. Some of you shut down the word unique because you thought you weren't. Moses, when God told Moses, you're special, I'm the God of your father. What? I'm the God of Abraham. What? I'm God. When the truth smacked him, he hit his face. He wasn't used to truth. Some of you aren't used to truth. But the more that you spend with the truth, the more you spend in his presence, that's when the change happens. You start seeing yourself as he sees you. And in that first couple of times, it's tough. It's different because it's a different air, right? It's different. It's when you hear you're loved, first time, you know, you're like, yeah, I'm loved. And, you know, you don't believe it. I heard I was loved probably hundreds of times, and what I heard was, I'm tolerated. I heard tolerate. The word was said love. I heard tolerate. It probably took me thousands of times hearing the word love before I started to believe that it was true. How long is it going to take you to receive the love of God? When you do finally receive it, then the change begins. But you're going to have to keep turning aside and going, because many of us weren't brought up in a loving environment where they believed in you, where you were never called a liar, that you were always valued and you were precious. And you could trust their words. You could trust their actions. I don't know anyone brought up like that. And so when you hear from a churchy person or God himself, he loves you, you're kind of like, oh, I doubt that. well, show me your credentials. We're not trusting, right? We have to learn that he is faithful, he's good, he's true. That's why Moses reacted like that. But he didn't walk away. If you've walked away, please come back. If you've walked away, please come back. Staying, and this is where we have to bathe ourselves in the truth. That's why I said reading this book, this chapter, chapter 3, 225 times. It may take some of you that much to actually believe the fact that you're special, that you're unique, that you have a unique calling only you can fulfill. Maybe some of you would just start reading that 1 Peter scripture. 1 Peter 2, 9, read that 2,000 times. Realize you're chosen. You're chosen. You're chosen. You're chosen. You're chosen. You've been picked for the first team. You're essential. Let's go on. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. God didn't like, it wasn't that bad for 430 years. And he went right to the truth, this whole thing. He went right to that dream, that purpose that was in Moses' heart from birth. And God just pulls away all of the hurt, all the wrong decisions, and makes it clear again. And go on. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters and oppressors. For I know their sorrows and sufferings and trials. Really? So what are you doing about it? He's about to say it. I've come down to deliver them out of the land, out of the hand of the power. I've come down to deliver them out of the hand and the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land to a land good and large, and a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land of plenty. God's going, here's what I'm going to do. And Moses, I'm sure his heart was like, about time. Only you can do it. We've been wondering what you're doing. Wow. Oh, well, why now? That's what I was asked. Well, timing, I'm a big timing person. But it's good to know what God's going to do. And he says, I'm going to take them to a place of the Canaanite. Ooh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Everyone knew all the ites were bad. Why are you going to take us to that bad place? They were in a bad place, Egypt. Now you're going to take us to a place, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, Hivite, and the Jebusite. That's six bad groups of people. I'm now going back into doubt. Now behold, the cry of the Israelites has come to me, and I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you. Whoa, time. You just said you were going to do this stuff. You. Not sure why all the ites were involved here, but you said you were going to deliver. This is part of the strategy that God is so cool about. I don't think I like it sometimes, but he loves you. And he says that he's going to work through you so that you know you didn't do it, but he wants to partner with you. So that he can show what it looks like to everybody when a person, man or woman, trusts and walks with God. My favorite scripture in Daniel. Why am I going blank on my third scripture in Daniel? Susan, what's my first scripture? So Daniel says, don't Google it. I'm going to get it here. Those that know him will be strong and do great exploits. I used to say, those that know him will do great exploits. And I forgot the strong part. You see, when you first get to know God, and he gets to know you, and you get to know him, it's an identity transference, okay? You come in low, and he lifts you up. And you find out who you are in him. That's where the strength is. The translation of the New Testament part of that is Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, family, that's y'all. Finally, family, be strong in the Lord, drawing from his unending power. Keywords, be strong in the Lord. How? Through relationship. Same thing in Daniel. Those that know him cultivate, live in, walk in, know him. He knows you. Galatians 2:20, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. If you don't know he loves you, you won't do anything with him or for him or around him. You'll be afraid of him. But love casts out, drives out all fear and doubt and disbelief and stupidity. I added that part, but it's true. Love drives out stupidity too, and ignorance, and lack and doubt. That's why you have to cultivate that relationship. And everyone's cultivation or getting to know the King of Glory is different. So don't be copying somebody else. It's not you. You've got to figure out who God is in you. It's very unique. And who you are in him. Very unique. Start the process now. One of the ways to start the process is read the Bible with him. You know, take a scripture, that 1 Peter 2:9. Thank you, Diana. Daniel 11:32. That's a scripture. But you have to start this relationship. Well, I said start, but he already started. He's waiting for your response. Okay? He initiated, waiting for your response. He initiated. He gave Jesus. Oof. He gave you his love. Did all the stuff. He's waiting for you to respond. He's waiting for you to turn aside from your life and your understanding of life, to turn aside to, oh, he's my creator. And when he sees you leave you, turn to him, he responds back. So he's already done something. Will you respond to his action? Just like you're in Exodus chapter 3. He ignites the fire, starts speaking. I wonder how many times he did that and Moses didn't respond. The game of life starts when you respond to the author of life. The ball is in your hands. He's already passed the ball to you. What are you going to do? I'm going to think about it. That's the answer of many people. They're thinking about it. They've been thinking about it for a long time. Nothing happens when you think about it. But when you turn from your ways and you look to him, game on. That's it. And the game is you two together. The game is not he commands you and you're a servant, you go do. That is not the life. The life that he wants to live with you is through you. Okay? And it's game, you know. It's real life. I guess it says it in John, apart from him, you can do nothing. So if you're not a part of him, you've been doing nothing. You've been existing. We got to learn how to be a part. He's even given us a head start on that. He lives in everyone who says, hello, I need help. He's now living inside of you, right? Are you learning to live with your new inhabitant? You're the temple of God. What are you doing with the one who's living inside of you? Are you ignoring? Are you annoying God? Are you annoying him? Are you ignoring him? Are you a bad manager? Or matter of fact, he bought the house. Yeah, he purchased you and to live inside of you. What else? And Moses said to God, what? that's the Johnson translation. Verse 11 says, and Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? See, he's finally going, okay, this is where a lot of us are at. Who am I to go to Walmart with a mask on and to release my spirit? Who am I to wave at somebody before I put my mask on in the parking lot? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? You don't know who you are until you ask your creator who you are. And then you have to receive your identity from him. Many of you don't know who you are because you've not asked. Oh my gosh! I wish it was deeper than that, but it's not. And you don't have to go to a conference. You don't have to send me any money to know your identity. I never heard that before. But seriously, your life begins when you start the conversation. Now he's ready for the conversation. Everything's lined up. He's got all the resources ready to fully engage with you once you start engaging with him. It starts with, just like here, verse 11. And Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go?" Don't go until you know who you are. Some of you are going out there like, "Oh, God wants you to do something." And you go out and do stuff, and you don't know who you are. And you come back hurt, beat up, wounded. Then you blame God. "What thought you wanted me to go do?" And, well, good thought. And guess Moses had that thought too. "I'm seeing people being hurt. I'm going to do something about it." They're moved by compassion, moved by his sense of justice, moved by, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's nice. But if you do it out of your own strength, out of your lack of identity or what you perceive to be who you are, you won't be successful. Okay? Or even worse, what if you are successful? What if you get a little bit of success? You may think you're walking in your destiny, a little bit of success, until you ask the Father, "How am I doing?" He goes, "Hey, you're doing really good. Nothing I ask you to do, nothing that I sent you to earth for, but hey, wow, good job in your eyes." But a good job in your own eyes is not satisfying. It's to you, right? Maybe satisfying to your parents, maybe satisfying to your peer group, maybe satisfying to your colleagues. You may be an excellent provider, husband, co-worker, but that's not life. That's not purpose. That's just spending time, maybe a little wiser than others. Okay. But you're not fulfilling your destiny, what you're created to live in. And you can't do that until you start asking the question, "Who am I, and why did you send me to earth for?" When you ask the question, get ready for the answer. Get ready for the strategy. Be willing to receive that. Yeah, I didn't know that. I was like Moses. I got very frustrated because I met people that they knew their purpose and they were busy doing it. I know how they knew it. I thought it was something, I don't know, they were lucky or something. I didn't know. I was smart. I still didn't know. And I finally did it. I asked. Life changes when you start asking questions. Some of you, if you're like me, I was asking questions all my life, and people are like, "Shut up, stop asking me questions." So I was asking the wrong people. I didn't ask God any questions. That's kind of funny. Or if I did ask God questions, I didn't expect an answer from him because I didn't think I was worthy, right? Who am I that you would answer my questions? So I finally got saved, and then, November 13th, 1981, I stopped doubting my salvation. But it wasn't until, 10 years later, 1990 or 1989, when I asked him on a Friday night, "Why am I here? Why did it take so long?" Well, I guess that was a slowly, I was handling my frustration. But I got tired of not knowing. I got tired of people knowing and happy about why they were on the planet and doing things that was satisfying and even pleasing to God. And they weren't bragging about it. They were just enjoying life. I was just going through the motions. And I liked it when people said, "Hey, that seems cool." Well, they thought my life was cool, but I didn't think my life was cool. Anyway, ask the question. Not publicly. You got to ask the question to where you hear the answer. I wish I could tell you that I asked the question on a Friday night. It took me 3 or 4 hours. And I first asked the question, "Why am I here?" And I was sitting there going, well, I don't hear God that well. No one hears God that well. But when you start asking the question, I guarantee you'll get a response. I asked the question, and I asked it again. And I think the third time, I was trying to be more holy. I got on my knees. Yeah, anyway, so it didn't work on the knees. And I was trying to be sincere. And then I heard somewhere in me, you don't want to know. And I thought, I'm not out playing video games or out watching a movie. I am determined to know. I'm going to take Friday night. I was going to take the whole weekend. And I was serious. I needed to know. But the first thing I heard, whether it was my mind, my conscience, whatever, was you don't want to know. Then I asked the next question. Do I want to know? I thought, I don't think I do. Because I was afraid, what if he told me? And if he told me, I'd be accountable. Well, I don't want to be accountable. I have no excuses, right? And so I went, wow, I really don't want to know. So I had to repent for actually lying. I didn't want to not ask a question that I didn't want to know. And it's basically, I spent several hours asking the same question and finding out I didn't really want to know the answer until I got to the place where I finally did want to know. I don't know how long this would take for you. I was playing games of self-deception in my life. Man, I'm getting mature. I never said that before. I was self-deceiving myself on purpose. Wow. Some of you are self-deceiving yourself because you've been trained to deceive yourself. But as of today, that stops. You've been empowered to ask the question. You've been empowered to expect an answer because you're now looking to love. You're being empowered by love, and love never fails. Now, love isn't instant. Love is patient or endures. The love that you need to get through your mind, you know, layers of stupidity, layers of ignorance, layers of fear. Pretty well, it had layers of fear. There's enough love from the Father to help you get through to where you will know who He is. And once you know who He is, you can know who you are. And once you know who you are, you can live the life that you were designed to live. Okay? That's what happened here. Verse 11, who am I? Verse 12, and God says, I will surely be with you. It. I will surely be with this. This is what it's all about. Some of you are called to be in the business world. Some of you are called to be just moms. Called to raise a godly generation. Some of you are called to be just lights. Some of you are called to be in customer service. You are the hope that some person has been beat up and been tortured all of their life. And you are a voice of life to them. That they've never, ever heard hope. When you tell them that you're going to return their item and not charge them for it, that's the first bit of love, health, hope, goodness, nourishment, water to a parched soul they've ever received. Oh my goodness. And they're going to hang the phone up going, I'm not going to kill myself because someone told me something good. That's true. That's the person right there. But, I mean, I've met people, not a lot, that a third grade teacher, fourth grade teacher, sixth grade teacher said one good thing to them, and that's motivated them for their whole life. In the midst of all this negative stuff, they got one person who gave them a C and said, you're not a loser. And that one bit of life has helped them, right? It's amazing what a word in season will do for somebody. You think it's nothing, and to that one person, it's everything. You don't know how much torture people are under. You know, that one wave, maybe the only good thing that person's had in 4 or 5 years. You don't know that. You just went, I'm a waiver. No big deal. If you wonder about those small things, I dare you to say, God, I don't believe that. Show me how something that insignificant can make a difference. I dare you to ask that question. I dare you to be willing to receive the answer. Some of you get all got scared real quick. Yeah, double dog dare you, right? Some of you just won't believe if he shows it to you. He'll first show it to you in a movie. Not a vision and spiritual movie. A regular movie where your heartstrings will be like, oh, well, that happened in a two-hour movie. Not in real life. If you'll believe what happened in a fictitious movie, okay, then you'll believe what happens in a real autobiography. Then you'll see it for real in your own very little life. Now, don't be mocked. Don't try to copy the movie and set it up. Just be you. Do your thing. And one day you'll see. Again, you got to start the process. Ask the question. And start, be real. It's like Moses. Who am I? I'm out here. And he goes, this is going to work because I will surely be with you. And this will be the sign to you. God loves signs. Now, some of you think he doesn't. He wants to show him. He wants to show out. He loves show and tell. He will show, he will tell. But you got to start with the question. I want to know who does this work. Because the other part of that is, if this works, I can trust it. If I can trust it, I'll stand on it. Now, this is where you start. You don't lead a nation quite yet. Some of you are called to lead nations. Some of you are called more than one nation. You're going like, what? Okay, don't jump there. Start off with, I don't think my smile makes a difference. I don't think the light of my eyes makes a difference. I dare you to ask God, whatever you think is a small, insignificant thing that's kind of in your habit, do. Ask God. And be willing and be open for him to show you. Okay. That's your challenge for the day. Other than reading Exodus 3 227 times. Or 1 Peter 2 9 2000 times. Anyway. Go on here. Verse 12. I said, I'm reading again. God said, I will surely be with you. Key. And this will be the sign to you that I sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt. He's telling the future here. You need someone in your life that will tell you the future. Because if he tells you the future, you can go, wow, I'm going to survive talking to the king. I'm going to survive all this stuff because he already told me what's next. This is the same thing as Revelations 4:1. Come up here so I can show you things which are about to come. See, this isn't like, this isn't an earthly relationship. Hi, what's your favorite color? I like chocolate. Do you like chocolate? I like chocolate. Do you like chocolate and caramel? Okay, you can have that conversation. Someone likes chocolate and caramel in the house. Now, you can start there with God. And build, this is cultivating a relationship. And all of a sudden you go, hey, thank you for the chocolate thing, and I'm glad you like chocolate and stuff like that. Here was one for me. I used to think God didn't have feelings because my feelings were hurt. So therefore, I put my feelings in a locked door. And then I assumed that God had done the same thing. And then I found out he had feelings. I went, hey, do you have feelings? This is one of them. He said, yeah. Oh, so now I had a choice. I could still be like me and hide my feelings because they were hurt and damaged. Or I saw that verse, the New Testament, that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. So now that I realized God had feelings, I let him heal my heart. And now I was open to have feelings. So then we upped it. Hey, do you really love that nation out there that hates you? That must be hard. Yeah, I love them. Well, I could never do that. Well, you can with my love. Just like I said in verse 12. I will surely be with you, or I'll give you my heart. I went, really? Question mark. He says, yes. Do you want it? I didn't say anything for many years. Put that question or the open door of my response on the shelf. Just a few years ago, I said, hey, remember when we were talking about that? Yeah, I'm ready now. And now the process has begun to expand my heart. Where only he can do it. I have to be willing, but he gets to do the miracle. Okay. Start the conversation. Start with, who am I? Feel free to tell him who you are or who you think you are. And let him remove all those lies. Let him replace that. But start the conversation. Your transformation doesn't start until you volunteer. Lay your cards down. I think I'm a loser. Bam! Top that. Guy goes, you're not a loser. Bam! I dare you to get in that conversation. Okay. You got to engage. Some of you, I'll go further with conflict. Well, love confronts. And love wants to be confronted. Now, fear doesn't want to be. But the love of God will take your fear and squeeze it out of you. He'll hug you so much, the fear will go away. But he won't force the hug on you. You got to say, could I have some affection, please? You know what you asked for, so just, I think I need. I hear your, John 4 says, God is love. What does that mean? Some of us have been tortured so much, we don't have the right perception of love. Or we may kind of have it, but it's been twisted. So we need God to untwist our mind. Change our perceptions, to redefine some stuff so that we can express him properly. And that only happens in our relation with him. Ooh, time is going by too fast. Okay, finish Exodus. Well, we do this. Your homework is to finish Exodus 3 several times to find out who you are, or to see what this man did who started off where we are. Just out there doing nothing. Doing our job, going through our day. But something happened when he started asking the question. It'll happen to me too. That's what that's for. Those for bonus round, you can write down the scripture. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verses. Start with 11. And go down through the last verse there, 15. Why is there a wrinkle in my Bible? It's not good. Fix those pages. Unwrinkle. I'm about to iron this.
Don't iron.
If you iron at a very light temperature, it's okay. It is okay. It won't burn. But you have to be careful. I've lost Titus. Anyone who can find Titus, please turn there. It's before 1 John for sure. There's James, Hebrews. Is it before Hebrews? You found Titus? It is before Hebrews. Titus chapter 2. I'm not going to read what I told you to read, but you should read Titus 2 verses 11 through 15. And the cool thing is, basically the summary for me, I tell you, grace is a teacher, and grace will teach you things, but only learn it in the relationship. Titus chapter 2, 11 through 15, read that. The Lord told me this message was about me doing verse 15. I was supposed to tell them all things, urge them, advise them, encourage them, warn them, and rebuke them with full authority. That's kind of mean, but as I got through this message, that makes sense, that if you've been caged up and tortured and been conformed to the fact you think you're a loser, I gotta shake you, slap you. You're not a loser. You're a winner. You're overcomer. I'm rebuking you you believe the lie. You are a chosen generation. You've been picked. You're essential. And I thought those were some strong words, but that's that. Then it says, let no one despise you or disregard you or think little of you. There was a time where I could not have shared this message because I did despise myself, didn't know my own value, my worth. You will never tell someone else they're valuable until you know you're valuable. And for many years, I was incapable of doing this because I didn't realize my worth. Okay, worth. W-R-T-H. And I guess I've graduated a little bit because I'm believing this for you and for me. There's too many lies we believe. We've submitted to too much torture, to too much conformity. It is an issue that we forgot who we were. There was lots of help to drive out our value and our dignity. But I'll close with the fact that His revelation, His love, His truth will be the escalator that takes you out of the hole and brings you back to glory. We fell from glory to a place of worth and value. We believed a lie. We participated in wrong relationships and tumbled. That's the Adam and Eve story. But it's our relatives. We got a new relative. Jesus is known as the last Adam. And in Him, you're a whole new species. You're not children of Adam and Eve. That's a lie. Okay. Those who are engrafted in Christ, you're now a child of the Father of Lights. Your elder brother, that's heresy words to some people. Your elder brother is Jesus. You've been crucified with Him, but nevertheless you live. That's beyond your imagination. It's graphically violent. How can I be crucified with Him when I'm not? I'm in 2020. Well, you were. So believe in the truth. You died with Him. He also resurrected with Him. These are spiritual truths. They're not natural truths. But since you're a spiritual being, you need to start understanding, grasping, believing, standing on, living from spiritual realities. So that's a big job. It's easy in the grace and the goodness and the love of the Father. That's why you gotta get to know Him, because He'll help you. He'll help you, enable you to live this life that you're called to live. Not the life that you were, it's the life you were designed to live, but not the life the world wants you to have. The world doesn't want you to live. The world wants you to die. The world wants you to be an advertisement of those who don't trust God, those who live the rat race, those who just follow the pack, not the leader, because the leader is God or Jesus. All right, so that's the homework there. I hope you guys don't mind that. And you're so essential. You're so valuable. You're so needed. The Father has invested everything in you. He's not, all the time we spend not walking with Him, He's not disappointed or frustrated, because His love, He believes in you. He believes in me. A lot of times I understand that, because, wow. But my love for me is growing. My love for Him is growing. And I'm getting a little bit of insight into what this love means and how powerful it is and what love can do. What it's doing for me, for you, through me, through you, and how this world needs love. We all need love. And God is like, here I am. I'm love. So, all right. Thank y'all who joined early. Thank y'all who joined late. Thank y'all. But you're here for a reason. The world won't tell it to you. Education won't tell it to you. The only one who really can tell it to you is your Father. And the only way you can hear it is in relationship with Him, in that divine union, to where you've got to figure out how you hear His voice and how you got to get to know him, you know, and let him know you. He knows you because he created you, but he wants that two-way thing. Communication is two ways. Isn't him talking down to you and you talking up to him? It's two beings, two spiritual beings, spiritually connecting. And you get to cultivate. Starts the question, who am I? Why am I here? And be open to hear that answer. All right, cool. We'll see you again. And I'll see about getting this one out there in my podcast.